Well, good afternoon, everyone. I think everybody enjoyed the lunch. Well, here we are, on the last great day. And here we are going to turn again to a scripture we all could read backwards, probably. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. So let's just go there. Deuteronomy 16. Three times a year shall all the males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty. Every man shall give, as he is able, according to the blessings of the Eternal thy God, which he has given thee. Now keep in mind, in those days, of course, we were talking about a physical harvest, where they gathered in the crops, and they could just see how much literally God had blessed them, physically, right in front of them. With us today, we're now living in the spirit, shall we say. We're looking at things from a spiritual point of view. Now, if you turn to Matthew 6, I'll show you what I mean. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it's in this world, you can see where people's treasure is. All these entertainers, dare I say, or pop stars, football players, you know, who get paid something like, a hundred and odd thousand, Gareth Bale, 170,000 a week, or something ridiculous. You know, buy a Ferrari of a week's earnings. And of course, they live a lifestyle which people look at and envy, don't they? Except when you read the newspapers and you see this one's going to a rehab clinic because he's blown his brain out with cocaine, and somebody else has got hooked on some other drug. Their lives are an absolute mess. We're told to put, you know, where our treasure is, there will your heart be also. Drop down to verse 25. Therefore I say to you, take no thought about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? There's one for the ladies. What am I going to wear today? Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? You see, the whole system, as we saw earlier, the whole system should be in a balance. Yes, you get bugs in your garden, and the birds come along at the same time and have their fill and produce their young. But God takes care of it. He created this system. What mankind has done is we've messed it all up. Verse 27. I love this verse. Which of you, by taking thought, can add but one cubit to your stature? I always tease my wife with that one. For those of you who've never seen her, she's 3'19". No, she's just a little under 5 foot, and all her four sons tower over her, so we have a bit of a tease. And why take your thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. It's thought that this was the anemone, which we had some in our garden, one flowered this year. We seem to get one every odd year. And it was a rich, rich, rich blue with the most beautiful gold fronds in the center. And with the sun on it, it was absolutely stunning. And he said, you know, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, if God can clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And then you drop down to verse 32. I beg your pardon, sorry. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. You see, the Gentiles, they're physical. They're seeking physical things. But you Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now we're starting to get to the key factor here. His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Now there is an absolute promise. God says you'll never see the righteous begging food. All his righteousness. Now we know what righteousness is, don't we? Psalm 119, verse 172, just write it down, you all know it. For all your commandments are righteousness. All your commandments are righteousness. So we're back to Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. What is that? It's a commandment. Read it as a commandment. Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place that he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear empty. Not a suggestion. It's a command. So that's what we're doing. We're here, we're doing it. We're doing the commandment, and that is righteousness. Why is it righteousness? And he tells us also to give as according to the blessing that God has given us. Well, God is a giver. And Mr. Armstrong always went into this. God is a giver. Man, in his natural state, is a taker. And if you think what happens out in the world, this is what happens all the time. It's just corrupt. It's corrupt from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head. You've only got to look at the banking industry to see that. But God is a giver. As we saw this morning, he wants all of mankind, all of them, to be in his family as immortal sons of the living God. That's what he wants. That's his desire. He doesn't want tares. But out of love, he will destroy the tares because he doesn't want to create. He doesn't want to give somebody eternal life when they're going to be miserable. You know, he talks about joy. He talks about, you know, well, what's the first thing he does? We have a wedding feast. What was the first miracle Christ did? He created, changed water into wine. So that people could continue to have a good time at a wedding and that the hostess wouldn't be embarrassed because they've run out of wine. This is the kind of God that we worship. He feels for people. He knows people. He loves people. But he also knows, and Christ said so many places, you know, I'm only telling you what the Father's told me to tell you. I'm not doing my own thing. God is a giver, and he wants us to develop his character. He wants us to be givers. We have this opportunity now to give. Now, what's the result of this? Our offerings go towards the financing of the work. Now, I've got a thing here from 1985. This was put out in January 1986, obviously just as Mr. Armstrong had died. It was the tax thing that the people get who do the tax back on their offerings. And he said, it is now true that this gospel has been proclaimed within every nation on earth by the worldwide Church of God. Matthew 24:14 is fulfilled. No other church has proclaimed this true gospel at all. Following our current worldwide figures, you should know, for the year 1985, 74 million Plain Truth magazines were either mailed to subscribers or distributed through newsstands. 7 million Good News magazines were sent out. 2 million Youth 85 magazines went to the young and old alike. 6 million booklets, books and reprint articles were mailed upon request. 6 million. Mrs. Bowles, I hope you're ready. You couldn't lick that many stamps in a year. More than 1 million Ambassador College Bible Correspondence Course lessons were sent to students. Mail Processing Center received more than 1 million phone calls, mostly in response to the World Tomorrow program on television. 1 million phone calls in 1 year. Our offices around the world receive more than 10 million letters from subscribers responding to the work of the church. What tremendous accomplishments your tithe and offerings have made possible in 1985. We estimated back in those days that the work was actually reaching between 100 and 130 million people. That's where Glenn Beck probably gets the information that he's going on now. I'm going to show you a news article on the Sabbath that mentions Mr. Armstrong. Not in a very good light, but it mentions him, going back to the 1930s. So, the work today. In 2013, your tithes and offerings have enabled the Church of God in Wales to make Mr. Armstrong's material available to close on 3 billion people. 3 billion people. Not 100 billion, 130 million. 3 billion. Not only is it available, it's available searchable. So you can go in and search and find exactly what he said on any given subject. And there's more going up all the time. We have people up there doing transcripts. The reason we're doing transcripts of the World Tomorrow broadcast is they can be put into the website and they become searchable. Because he said a lot of things in the broadcast that he didn't say necessarily to the church. And that's ongoing. Who knows what's going to happen? We're probably going to get more and more material as we go along. So I'd like you to turn, in closing, to Zechariah 4. Because if you keep this tremendous difference in mind, that with all that accomplishment and all that money, and we're spending around about $200 and $250 million in 1985, right? And you see what they've done, you see what they achieved back then, and it was mind-blowing. You know, I went down to the press, I used to see the stuff coming off, and to see the plane truth coming off in stacks, just piles and piles, and just shooting off. The paper goes through, I think it was 60 miles an hour or something, isn't it? Close to 60 miles an hour. It's quite a staggering machine. There's 3 or 4 stands, and the different colors are printed. And this paper, this huge roll, this massive big roll of paper, and you see it going like this. This is going through. And printed in all these different languages, and they've managed to reach 100 to 130 million. We're reaching close on 3 billion. I don't exactly see a cast of thousands before me. Now, with all that in mind, now let's read Zechariah 4. Then he answered and spake to me, saying, "This is the word of the Eternal to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Eternal God." Drop down to verse 8. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house." Isn't that what you said we read this morning? He said, "I've given you the foundation, and I've put the framework on it." That's what he gave us, and that's what we're clinging on to, and that's what we're putting out there for anybody who God wants to draw to it. "His hand shall also finish it." Mr. Armstrong is still out there doing the job, although he's been dead now, 20-odd years. He's still there. You can still hear him. You can still read his words. You can still read his books. "And you shall know that the Eternal of hosts has sent me unto you." You see, it was God doing the work through him. And I'm going to finish with verse 10. "For who has despised the day of small things?" Is that not what we are? Would you call this big? That huge group we have over in Kentucky? Massive. I hope you've all had a chance to speak to each other this week. I jest. But look at what's being done. And there are those that have said, we are not doing the work. I think reaching 3 billion people is very exciting. And I hope we all can hang on to that this year and realize that there might be a small group, and we might be scattered, and we might be shattered. But this work, Mr. Armstrong's messages are still going out, and they're going out now in greater power than ever before. And our offerings and our tithes are supporting that. So while we take up the offering, Mrs. Paula Henderson will be singing Psalm 126, the second time that Zion is returning, accompanied by Mrs. Estelle Monroe.